was not quite there, but it was pretty good the way they settled the voting power and other things. The problem is that it would have left them, the Rothschilds, in secret control still, which is not something we want because they're not nice people. And it didn't involve a jubilee or redistribution of assets. So, but nonetheless, the power balance that they negotiated is some roughly the sort of thing we need to, you know, set up. But, you know, like I say, for now, let's try to bust these people once and for all so we can go into the Chapter 11 negotiations for the United States and Washington, D.C. Corporation and come out a healthier, happier country where you know, life expectancy and childbirth goes up, like in Russia. And Japan, too, of course. Japan is also in terminal decline because of Khazarian rule, and they need to start having babies again and the optimistic future, which the current system does not provide. The current system is one where the medical establishment is increasing its profits while people are getting less and less healthy, where half of everybody is now getting cancer because of cancer-causing chemicals being put in their daily products. It's a sick, dysfunctional system in so many ways, and we're all aware of it. And like I said, I've done this. I think I've used this example many times, but I will again. When I'm writing a story, sometimes it just doesn't work, and I have to delete the whole thing and start again from scratch. And we're sort of at that level. We have a system that has become so dysfunctional that just repairing it and teetering along is no longer the best
option. Yeah, well, the system's become toxic, and you know your examples you use are even further ranging than you know, where we have doctors creating sickness the same way we have intelligence agencies creating enemies. Like ISIS is a contrived enemy. It's not real. It's a creation of the CIA, Mossad, and the Saudi intelligence service, and they create it in order to have an enemy to publicly fight. It's bizarre what they do. They create their own market by creating either illness or an enemy or whatever else. It's a highly dysfunctional system.
Yeah, and enough of us, a critical mass of us, have become aware of this. And at the very top, they really are Satanists. They worship death, and they're not normal. Some of these people, they're just not. They don't. They're psychopaths, and they're at the highest levels of power. I mean, there's less and less of them. We're removing them one by one, but they still have the control of the money printing machine. Now, that is, you know, long research has led me to the conclusion that when the United States decided in the early 1970s to go off the gold standard and go to the petrodollar, that it was Henry Kissinger who came up with this system and who has the code for creating dollars. I've heard that Henry Kissinger was given a little honeymoon or whatever with the election of Trump, and that also ends on May 1st. So we've got to find this man. We've got to get those codes for producing dollars. And this is, again, I think, where this election of the Knights of Malta and the Pope are involved, because these people were at the top of the system. That's what forensic research has taught me. It's a sort of a global Roman Empire that controlled the production of dollars and euros and yen. And these are the people fighting to cling to power in France and you know, blackmailing Trump into becoming their puppet. And you know, these are the people we need to deal with. And we know who they are. People like the Agnelli brothers and the people in Malta and all these guys. And we need to get to them and say, come on, you guys, it's time to fix the planet. You know, wake up, face reality. Let's just be sane here now. Get away from, and a lot of it is at the very top, it's religious fanaticism visions of the apocalypse and you know, stuff that just is not healthy. It's not, you know, one thing that Asians always say about Westerners is, why do Westerners keep thinking the world's going to end, you know? What sort of thinking is that? The world has been gone forever and we're going to make it better and better. That's the sort of thinking you need. You've got to switch this idea that there's going to be an apocalypse out of these people's minds and start a new age instead? What sort of future do we want to build? What sort of world do we want to live in? How can we get there? These are the questions that your society, the Western society, has not been asking itself. Instead, they've been going along according to ancient religious beliefs. You know, and it's just not rational.
It isn't. I agree. And we all come, it comes back to the same thing about we have these psychopath Satanists who are running the world, and we need to lock them up and you know, put them in a place where they can't hurt themselves or anyone else.
And a lot of them are being locked up. You know, they've been disappearing one by one, and we're going to continue doing that until it's finally over. You know, I think now we've got to go to Switzerland and Italy to get some of the top people there. But the visible structures are the things that we need to concentrate on. That's the IMF, the World Bank, the Federal Reserve Board, the European Central Bank, the Bank of Japan, the BIS, the Rothschild Family Complex in Zug, Switzerland, the things that you can see. And then the other thing we need to go into are these foundations. That own all the corporations and the families that own the foundations. This is, you know, you got to follow the forensic trail and flush these people out, which is what we've been doing. That's why David Rockefeller was out there, you know. And we need to keep doing that. And the other thing is that we need to separate among the ultra-rich, people who got rich by making things that...
Versus people who do the financial manipulations. Hey, Ben, we need to take a break right now because we've got to reboot our recording device here. Let's go ahead and wind this up now. We'll be right back in a couple minutes. We'll call you back presently, okay?
Okay. I think we need to talk more about nitty gritty now, who the players are in this part of the world. What's happened here, okay, is there's a lot of things going on. I've been in touch quite frequently with Japanese military intelligence, CIA in Asia, and other types. You know, you had recently had Rex Tillerson come here. You had Vice President Michael Pence come here. And they've been trying to get money to keep the U.S. corporation going on. When Tillerson showed up, they're trying to push for this politician called Ichiro Ozawa, who used to work for the Rockefellers, had a fallout with them, and now they're sort of trying to bring him back into their fold. And they tried to get the emperor to put his official government, Japanese government seal on a, was it 4 quadrillion yen bond issued by the World Bank? This is, I think it was like $40,000 trillion, some outrageous sum. And the Japanese refused to put their chop on it. Now, the situation is this, is that the emperor, the Showa emperor, Emperor Hirohito, was genuine emperor. But when the American forces landed in Japan, before they did, he presented an actor as his son, because he didn't want his real son to be brainwashed and indoctrinated by the Americans. And this is the emperor we have now. However, he is saying that, you know, despite that, he wants to do the right thing. While David Rockefeller was alive, he kind of did whatever Rockefeller told him to. But now that David Rockefeller is not here, he wants to do the right thing and not, you know, keep this horrific military-industrial machine financed. And Japan is really important for the U.S. because... there's this thing called Zaito. It's an unofficial budget. It's things like taxes on oil, on gasoline, and liquor and tobacco, and things that. Anyway, it provides you with about $2 trillion a year, and I would say don't keep paying these people that $2 trillion a year until we get the reforms we wanted. And the other thing is that they're not signing, they're not putting their chop on any more attempts to create money. Apparently in the old system, you know, the creation of money was sort of decided by people like Kissinger and Rockefeller, but as a formality, the Japanese emperor was supposed to, you know, put his chop on it, and that's been stopped. So there's this kind of blank here. There's a kind of, everything's on in on hold until we can figure out what to do next. And when Michael Pence here came, he was frustrated they couldn't get money, so he sort of told the Prime Minister Abe, either you do that or we're going to have you arrested, and then told him he had to quit by June. And they're still trying to get their man Ozawa in as the new head of the system, and they're promising that they'll, you know, release unlimited funds once Ozawa is put in. But Ozawa's mother is North Korean, and he's not very well liked in the Japanese political world, and he's definitely not the man for the job. So they don't want him here. They don't want him in charge. Okay, so that's not going to happen. Again, I'll admit I put my name forward. Temporarily, like in The Lord of the Rings, the guy who, Frodo, whatever, takes the ring and melts it in Mount Doom. That's what I want to do. Give me the ring and I'll throw it into Mount Doom and melt it, and we'll get rid of the system and replace it with something that's more open, transparent, and reflects the will of the people as well as the will of the smartest people. That's what we're trying to come to. But that's sort of underneath the surface. That's what's going on. Now, there's also some nasty stuff going on in Indonesia, where Mike Pence went there and he met with some.
Yes, there is. There is. They're trying to format Islamic extremism in Indonesia as well. People don't realize it's a Muslim country of 200 million people, and that's a powerful force in Southeast Asia.
Yeah, and they're trying to foment radicalism and hatred there to keep, you know, so that they can put their people in power again, but. The current president, Jokowi, is very popular, and the Indonesians don't want these people to mess with them. There's just a few billionaires connected to the old regime who are trying to do this, and we know who they are, and they're going to be taken out if they're going to keep trying to do this. And I put their names out in my weekly report, I believe, at least the key guy. But it ain't going to happen, okay? The nobody wants them to go and do their whole IS thing in Indonesia. Not welcome, okay? Indonesia is moderate Sufi Islam. It's not radical Wahhab Islam. Perfectly, you don't feel alienated going to Muslim countries like Malaysia or Indonesia, like you do if you go to Saudi Arabia.
No. I ran a business out of Singapore. I had offices. I had two offices in Malaysia. I had one in Indonesia, and spent a lot of time there, you know, for about a 15-16 year period. And no, you're very welcome. It's a very conservative culture, but it's a welcoming culture at the same time.
Yeah. Whereas if you've been, I've been to Saudi Arabia, and boy. You know, they have these religious police with red-dyed beards and big sticks that just go around and beat people on the spot, and they have public beheadings and beheadings, and there's no rule of law. It's all like a family arbitrarily, you know, considers the people their property and slaves. It's a horrific place. And, you know, my father was a Canadian ambassador there for 20 years. I met one of these princes when I was there. I was just university student at the time, but boy, that was the most alienating place I've ever been to on this planet. And you know, you definitely want to go into Saudi Arabia and clean up that whole Wahhab mess once and for all, you know, and that's got to be done. You know, Islam is fine, but Wahhab is not Islam.
No, I had a meeting with the Grand Mufti of Syria about this topic, and the label that he gives it, he calls it the Wahhabi blasphemy. That's really, I think, a very accurate name for it. And you have to look at how the U.S. has played into this, because you look at what Hollywood produces. I mean, you can go back 20 years, look at that movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis called True Lies. And they're portraying the terrorists in there as being Iranians, but they're Wahhabist. and nothing could be further from the truth. And so they've been spreading this lie that all Islam is Wahhabi Islam, whereas true Islam is nothing even closely resembling that.
No, and, you have to go back to Hollywood, the 1950s. You know, we have Sinbad the Sailor and that kind of stuff. You know, to get a more accurate view.
Yes, exactly. You know, very, very well spoken. And I love those Sinbad movies. I watched those as a kid. They were great.
Right. I mean, so the point is that this whole demonization thing is run by the T2 Freemasons and by the Satanists, because there's two different agendas. One group, the P2, they're trying to force Christianity and Islam to fight each other until they become a single world monotheistic religion controlled by them. But another group within them is just, you know, wanted to do this Gog Magog scenario and start World War III and kill 90% of humanity so they can enslave the rest. And that's, I think, the Saudi royals and Netanyahu, those people are all part of the same group, you know. And they're the ones who are the worst problem. You know? And, you know, the Saudis are now pretty desperate, and they know that there's a blanket above them, and I think they're ready to surrender, and they're trying to negotiate it, and I think it gets accommodated. A lot of the princes are Western educated, Westernized, and they don't like Wahhab. I know that from when I was there. So we start getting rid of a few more Rothschild fanatics, people like Netanyahu. I have this person called Amin, who's been calling me, who's one of these people they've been trying to train as a radical Muslim. He told me that Netanyahu was actually an Arab, not a Jew.
Why does Netanyahu look like he would fit into a Nazi SS uniform and look natural in it? Yeah. You know, I don't buy that he's there.
The name he gave me was Shaul. Okay, it was the real name of the Netanyahu. But anyway, I don't know if that's true or not. But certainly, the man's behavior makes it clear he's a war criminal. And I'm surprised he's still at large. I'm surprised he hasn't been arrested. But he's not going to be around that much longer. He's an evil man, and he's going to go. He was the one who called up Prime Minister Khan Naoto Khan, the day after the Fukushima attack, and threatened to blow up Mount Fuji if Japan didn't hand over all its foreign exchange holdings. So the man is involved in genocide and mass murder. By the way, I think, you know, they know that if Tokyo's hit, then Jerusalem goes. And also, if necessary, we can blow La Palma and create a 100-meter tsunami on the U.S. East Coast. So, you know, don't try to solve this by nuking Tokyo or doing something crazy like that. It's not going to work, okay? It's a Mexican standoff. So this is not going to be solved through violence. Get that through your heads, please.
Well, I think that message needs to be repeated a lot, that none of this is going to be solved by violence. It's time to get these people out of the way and to let cooler heads prevail, and let's come to some sensible solutions that actually benefit mankind instead of just this 0.1% out there that controls, you know, 90% of the global wealth.
Yeah. And you know, here in Japan, we sort of forensically traced it. They have this thing called the Japan Foundation, and about them, it's the CSIS, Center for Strategic International Studies, which is run by the Vatican and T2, and it's also run out of the Freemason headquarters next to Tokyo Tower. And, you know, then we follow up the food chain and we get to these Knights of Malta and that sort of people. And that's where we need to come up with a solution. I've explained to the North Koreans, everybody else, that if there's some sarin gas attack in Tokyo, I've told the Japanese, it's not going to be the North Koreans. It's going to be the people at the CSIS who did it. So if you want to retaliate, hit the synagogue in Tokyo and hit the CSIS, you know. Go for the source of the problem. Don't let these people manipulate you into fighting each other anymore. Hello?
No, I agree. I had to mute my microphone. I had a noise in the background that was distracting, so.
A dog, I heard.
Yeah, a dog. So I had to mute it because he doesn't shut up sometimes.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Anyway, and in the U.S., I think, didn't they find that they did a radiological survey of New York and they found a huge spike in the Israeli consulate. I guess they've got a nuke there, you know?
Yeah, that's been happening for a long time, that the Israelis have had nukes in their basements of consulates and embassies virtually in all the major countries of the world here. So it's all part of their Samson option. So
the technology now exists. These nukes are being neutralized, can be neutralized. They are neutralized. They can't blow them off anymore. That's a fact. They've been trying to set off nukes in the Middle East, and something's been stopping them. Also, just as an aside, I had a friend who's going to be traveling all around Fukushima prefecture, you know, and so I gave her a Geiger counter, and she went around, and nowhere could she find anything but normal background radiation. So something cleaned it all up. So please, don't let them spread any more Fukushima fear porn. It's just not true.
Well, that is good to hear. That's the best news I've had today. If we can get that same radiation cleaning technology and get that through the Pacific Ocean, that would be a very good thing, because I understand the Pacific is under some great stress right now ecologically from that event.
Well, no, it's from overfishing, okay? It's not...
There's a number of causes. The overfishing, we've got the Pacific Garbage Patch, which is growing daily, and it's now you've got micro-sized plastic particulates everywhere throughout the ocean. Yeah. All of this stuff needs to be addressed and remediated.
Exactly. That's why we need to turn around the whole system so that we devote ourselves to cleaning up the planet, not to, you know, destroying it. And that's just where we need this fundamental change at the top so that we can go out there and start scooping up all the plastic in the Pacific and stopping the overfishing and cleaning up all the mess we've made, you know, and realize that this is the only planet we have, and we have to take care of it. And we also have to start getting ready to find homes and other planets so that we're not forever, you know, condemned to a single planet. We need to go to the universe. And I think that's another thing that will be possible once we've finished removing the final Satanists from the top of the power structure. I think they will end the quarantine on the planet Earth. I'm sure of it, in fact.
Well, Ben, that really is the best survival strategy that humanity can take, and that is to spread out and populate other planets.
Yeah, and then I think that they've been stopping us because we've had some very, very dangerous entities who took control of the top of the power structure there. I think a lot of those people at the very top are humans who've been taken over by entities. Sort of like the Day of the Triffids type thing, where they're not...
Yes.
It's a human body, but the control center is not human. I know that. I personally met some of these people, and they weren't human. They were human bodies occupied by satanic entities. And it's a weird stuff, but I wouldn't believe if I hadn't seen it, but I've seen it.
Well, that is a theory that I've heard from a number of people over the years, and you know, you hear the same story enough times, you begin to give it a little bit of credibility here. And
let's just go back and be scientific and rational and say, all right, it's not satanic entities. What it is it's a cultural thought form that's existed for thousands of years. It's a mindset wherein people are brought up in that system, are indoctrinated to believe that other human beings are their cattle and that they can herd them or kill them or do whatever they want because they are superior and that they are destined to rule the rest of the humans as slaves. So you don't even have to invoke anything otherworldly to explain this. You can just think of it as cultural evolution if you prefer to think that way. But these people have been brought up in a mindset that's very alien to what most of us have.
Well, it is. It's very strange, actually, and it's one of the few things that is truly, it's anti-human. It's what they do. It's anti-human. I don't understand it at all. I mean, I've never wanted to hurt anybody for any reason, but these people seem to thrive off of it, and I don't know what's feeding this for them.
Well, here's what the lower level people I met. What they're saying is that the planet is full of useless eaters who are destroying the environment, and they're not producing anything, they're not creating anything, they're just destroying nature. And so we get rid of them in order to protect nature, and at the same time we get rid of the dumb and inferior people to improve the human gene stock and make the planet better and have a sort of a more balanced with the ecology run by intelligent people. This is a sort of rationalization they use. But, you know, what I told them is, no, these people are like seeds waiting to become a jungle. They're like empty laptops waiting to be filled with, you know, software. They're incredible potential for a new, you know, Cambrian explosion of evolution. And they need to be developed to their fullest, not killed. And that you can increase population even if you increase the amount of nature and virgin nature on this planet. It's completely possible if we have the right systems in place. You don't have to kill people in order to save the environment. You can increase the population and increase nature at the same time. And that's what I'm trying to get going once we, you know, bankrupt these people.
Well, that's a great goal. I support it 100%.
Okay, look, I'm hoping that there will be a lot of discussions in the coming week as this deadline looms, and that the good guys will prevail, and that all these warmongers will be removed one by one, and that the U.S. military and the other people who have guns are reassured that they're not going to be suddenly cut off without pay and left, you know, like what happened when the Soviet Union collapsed and generals became taxi drivers. Nothing like that's going to be allowed to happen. Everybody's going to be okay, so don't let them fool you into starting World War III.
Okay. Well, you know, I agree. I don't want to see the kind of economic upheaval. But what we've got in the USA right now is we've got very capable, very talented people who are highly educated, you know, technology people, you know, whether it's IT or semiconductors or, you know, engineering of 15 different stripes, people who want to work, and there's no work for them.
Yeah.
And so that's the problem. And as you stated earlier, these oligarchs have eliminated all the competition. They've offshored all the jobs that, you know, that used to support manufacturing. And how do we get that back? And I think we have an excellent opportunity here by releasing these patents that have been sequestered for national security reasons, and using those patents to retool America and retool the world along these new technologies that will be very, very productive. You know, there is a blessing in there, and let me give an example, and that is one of the reasons that the USA lags in technology as far as telecom goes is because AT&T clung to their copper wire technology because it was a cash cow. Whereas if you go to Korea, for instance, they have the most advanced telecom system in the world because they didn't have the legacy cash cow technology that was there getting in their way. Nobody wants to kill a cash cow. Yeah. And so since the U.S. has been deindustrialized, we're prime to retool with the most cutting edge technologies there are without having to kill a cash cow. And that gives us an extreme advantage and something that would allow for, very spectacular growth over a very, very short period of time, which would reindustrialize the U.S. and make this country a wealth producing nation again.
Yeah. I mean, just one example, I think everybody could have a flying car like the Jetsons, and that alone would allow people to, you know, everybody live in a nice large house with a big garden and still, you know, enjoy the benefits of city life. There's so many things. I mean, as you know, the American Academy of Sciences says that at least 6,000 patents have been suppressed for so-called national security reasons. A lot of these can be released, and then that would start a new U.S. renaissance. And the the copper wire equivalent in your system now is just people who are addicted to the fiat printing press and don't want to get their hands off it. But that is what's really killing the world economy, is this whole financial system that's been based on debt and creation of money out of nothing and controlled by criminals. That's the problem. So I think we have an opportunity between now and May 1st. Let's do it. Let's get over the storm the Bastille. Let's just get it done, you know?
What actions, what direct or indirect actions would you recommend for the listeners, the American people, or the people of the world to be taking to support this effort?
For most people, they should be demanding their congressmen or their local politicians to nationalize the Federal Reserve Board and restore the right to create money to the people and take it out of the hands of these private bankers. For the people in the military, they need to go up the chain of command and demand something similar, you know. And then, you know, from the bottom up, we can put pressure to flush out the final crap at the top and you know, start anew. And the other thing, of course, is that people, if anything that, you know, whatever's closest to you is most important. So if there's anything in your immediate life that you can do to make things better, do it. If we all do that, the world will be better in no time at all.
Okay, well, very good. That's what the people need to know. They need to know how they can help, because everybody who listens really wants to take an active role. People want to help. People want this thing to succeed.
Yes, so what I'm doing here is, personally, as a journalist with a long career here, I'm talking to politicians, to Japanese military intelligence, to people involved directly. I'm meeting them. I'm giving them letters. I'm explaining them how to do action plans. I'm not just, you know, talking on radio shows. I'm going out there. I'm meeting people. I'll be, you know, I'm meeting gangsters and military types and politicians and industrialists, trying to get them all to understand that this is a good thing. It's not a rat. It's not a some sort of communist revolution type thing. It's going to be a meritocracy and a rational and democratic and much healthier. It's fixing a corrupt system. It's not about, you know, getting the bad guys. It's about creating a new age. And I'm so everybody can do the same. Talk to the people you know. Get things happening where you can make a difference. Let's make this happen, okay?
Very good, sir.
All right. Well, thanks for calling me, and let's talk again.
Well, Ben, thank you for being on. It's always great to have you as a guest, and you're welcome any and every time. So the phone works both ways. Don't forget that.
Yeah, so when I think there's enough new events happening in the world to merit talking about it, I don't want to sound like a broken record and repeat the same thing time after time. But next time there's more happening, I'll definitely get in touch. So thanks for having me on.
All right, Ben, thank you so much. Have a great day over there, okay?
Have a good evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.